The following program may contain content that your kids would love to hear, but you may not want them to.
Secure the template. Set the backside guide to appropriate lockset basket. The backside guide tabs include setting the jig. Possession template. What the hell am I reading?
You're an interesting species. An interesting mix. You're capable of such beautiful dreams. And such horrible nightmares. You feel so lost. So cut off. So alone. You know. See, in all our searching, the only thing we found that makes the emptiness bearable is each other.
Yeah, that guy. Okay.
You enter this theater at your own risk. We are not responsible for any injuries incurred while you listen and give you fair warning that anything you hear may be held against you.
Philosophical entertainment, relevant irrelevance.
Now on the air. With who? The bard of broadcasting. My name is Frank Cotolo, a man whose name adorns the title of the show. What a show. Y2K plus 13. Here we are once again. Now, Netarati, couple surfers, netaholics, and infomaniacs remain. Curious Yellow. It's a special Savino Cotolo Chronicles, including the gang, a whole panel of people, including the great Phil Hong from SRM Media Works. Live, we got Jeremy Irons. Not Jeremy Irons, you're Jeremy. Well, the Iron Jeremy and Ray and the whole gang. And Phil, live right here. Stay with us. 2 hours of maniacal membrane activity. Yes, from ICECAP to ICECAP, from Hamlet to City, from Othello and into every bordello. It's once again time for the Bard of Broadcasting to skip through this with any number of interruptions as I try to orchestrate and moderate a show that doesn't just include our monthly guest, my old partner, and he's not getting any younger either, Tom Savino from an undisclosed location in California, and all the other people who are here, including, I got to tell you, one of the great people, one of the people responsible for keeping this show on the air for as many years, and we're going into a decade of association with the great SRN Media Works, and that, of course, means there could only be one person. There are a number of people. It's not just like, I can't just say it's him. It's a team. It's the team I talk about all the time. The team I talk about all the time and use the tease when I do that, but there's no tease in his name, and he's not even a tease. He's not a tease. He's direct. He goes right for the throat. He's Mr. Phil Hong, and he's here with us, along with our usual suspect idiots, and got a couple of new idiots too. I see over there. Can Phil move his? Can Phil get over here a bit? Because we have this studio is not meant for as many people as we have in it. But here we are in Cotolo Chronicles, on Y2K Plus. What is it? Y2K Plus something. 13, that's right. I forgot the year, but it's getting crazy. And Mr. Phil Hong is here, and what a remarkable. I can't, you know what? I keep coming to cliches. I don't want to say like, oh, what an honor to have you here. You know, it's just, it's a thrill. It's actually a thrill. I feel like Chris Matthews and Obama. This coming up my leg. I think I feel a thrill coming up my leg. And now here's Phil Hong.
Good evening, Frank. Good evening to you. It's an honor. It's an honor.
Is it not? No, it's my honor. No, remember, thank you. No, thank you. No, it's my honor. No, it's my honor. Anyway, I know you don't. Hey, how you doing? Raul is here, too. What, yell in the background there. Give us a wait. Let's hear Raul scream in the background.
Woo!
Yeah, Raul. You know, there's this company that rents out, actually, Raul's my bodyguard, and he had to be here tonight. You should see this guy, man. These pecs are like, you know, we tried before. We said, you know, do you just look like that? Do you have one of those metal things on with the, what do they call these, abs? You have one of those metal plates on with the abs or what have you, and that armor thing? And that's what we thought it was. So we started to punch him. They said, who could punch him harder, you know? And our hands are still hurting. He's sitting here. Not a breath has gone by at all. And starting next week, although this isn't television, but we'll take some pictures, toss it up on Instagram, Facegram, Facebook, your book, MySpace, my face. We're going to put up the pictures because we are, in a week or two, all getting Raul haircuts. So you'll know for sure what here is all about. Also here is the perennial reciprocant of my DNA, Mr. Ray Cotolo.
Is that supposed to be an honor?
That's for you to judge, and, you know, later on, when you're out and people grab you and throw you an alleyway and beat the living daylights out of you, you'll wonder. You'll say, I'm sorry I was on that show. And speaking of sorry, of course, the Jeremy Long, is not Jeremy Irons, someday the name Jeremy Long will be as roll off the tongue as easily as the name Jeremy Irons.
Hi, Frank.
Jeremy's still here, still working on this fabulous, we think it's going to be fabulous, intricate, fabulous, and unpredictable documentary that I sure don't deserve. And it has a working title now. It's Frank Cotolo, a documentary. Cotolo, just or Frank Cotolo. You better put my first name in there, too, because, you know, there are impersonators. Frank Cotolo, Destruction and Reciprocity. Is that it?
Yeah.
Okay. He's a funny guy. I know. I write some of his material. But really, Jeremy will be... Where are you going to be aside from tonight at the movie theater? Watching a movie. Where are you going to be again? Give a little plug for anybody who's here in Harrisburg. Anywhere in Harrisburg, anywhere in the South Central Pennsylvania, we got roadways that go to all the different places. So, like, if you live in Carlisle, you can come into Harrisburg. You live in Newfoundland, you can drive. That's a long way. Newfoundland. Phil, you drove here. Wait out here. Let me guess. 400 miles?
About 400 miles. Yes.
400 miles to get here, and it's amazing how we're all a one big happy family. And I think we're happy because we're all so far apart most of the time. But anyway, where are you going to be? You should be somewhere soon.
This upcoming Wednesday, I will be in Pittsburgh at a place called Papa Rocks. And next Monday, the 26th, will be at Linglestown at the St. Thomas Roasters. And somewhere in between there, I'll probably end up at the Comedy Zone in Harrisburg.
So there you go. Just look for the large marquee with the bulbs, spelling out his name, Jeremy Long. And, of course, we'll all be there. Anybody in town, come on over to St. Thomas Roses tomorrow night, too, where I'll be putting on my usual nitwit show with fun music and mayhem. Hopefully this week the police won't show up. But anyway, we're just having a great here time here, and Mr. Tom Savino should be coming here shortly. We're going to see when he gets on to Skype. It looks like he might be caught in traffic somewhere because he's usually early. In the old days, as I think I mentioned before, in the old days when we were a team, I think my father coined this name. Tom was never on time for anything. He was on time for school. He's on time for gigs. He was on time for anything at all. And my father, when he finally showed up, if he came to my house to pick me up in his car or something, my father would go, "Well, here he is, the late Tom Savino." And he's late tonight, so I hope nothing's wrong. But in any event, in all events, and certainly in this event, we got great stuff. And Phil is going to help contribute here, too. We're supposed to talk about something quite fascinating, according to Tom, because he does great research. And, you know, it's amazing how people change over the years. Because he's prepared. He's a school teacher now. Out in California, in Los Angeles, and as a matter of fact, he's about to retire as a school teacher. That means it must mean a couple of bucks here and there, right? Don't you think? Huh? What do you know, Jeremy? You're so young. You're looking more and more like Peter Sellers every day. Isn't he looking like Peter Sellers? Isn't he? Huh? You know what? When they do reboot the Pink Panther,
Yeah. You're
in, man.
I hope so.
You could be.
That'll be my claim to fame right there.
And your swan song. I mean, but anyway. Here's Phil Hong now, and I've been dying to do this. Just take over the show here for a moment. Tell us all about the great things happening at SRN, around SRN over the next couple of decades.
Well, we're producing great content, by the way. We have a great woman by the name of Carlene, and she does a show, ironically, right before Frank starts his thing. And it's called Carlene Tonight, and we've been trying to get into the local thing. We've been producing more news updates, and there's more content coming to our entire platform as well. 148.ca just got its newest travel guide section. You can now find out where all the hotel reviews are, but they're now in the right place. If you want to check that out, 148.ca/travel, and we worked hard for that. We've gone through 24 hotels so far in the past few years, and we're going to definitely review some more. And there's lots of photos as well.
When I was on the road, I went through a lot more hotels than that. 2,000 hotels, but that's good. Yeah, the 148.ca should be your home page. It can't be your home because nobody yet has figured out a way to live on the internet in cyberspace. You want to use that joke later on? You can. Raul is here. And Raul, I got to say, I really want to thank you because I know that a couple of people before when the limousine drove, and a couple of people plunged, and I saw that body block you did with those guys, and I think they were guys. I mean, could have been girls dressed as guys. I think they were guys or girls dressed as guys. Do you think? What do you know? What do you think? You don't care either, because whatever just comes at me, you immediately. And that's what you gotta love. I gotta say that if there were people like you in the days of, Abraham Lincoln, he would have seen the end of that play, I think. It was. But, okay, so we're waiting for Tom Savino, because we're going to talk about the man's brain, because he has some, he's talked about a book, I think we had it on the, where's your phone tonight? But he's like, everybody walks around with their phones now. Phil has, there have been all sorts of things that have been exciting tonight here too. Cameras pointed at me, and the last time that that many cameras were pointed at me, I think I spent like three nights in jail. And I was on the evening news, but that's okay. That's before we hired Raul. Raul, of course, comes from the local, PABG, Pennsylvania Association of the Bodyguards, who are, of course, hired out at a great deal, a great expense. I want to thank SRN also for putting up the bill on that thing, because, you know, it wasn't just me who had to be protected tonight, but actually Phil Hong, although Phil Hong had to be, because, you know, he doesn't, this is a rural outpost of SRN here in the United States of America. But that doesn't, you know, rural is actually a better place. I don't want to give away this particular idea to any scoundrels listening, but rural is a good place for attack, because there's not a lot of stuff around. You know, it gets dark, no street lights, okay? And then, you know, you could ninja here without even putting on the top. What do they call that, the hoods, ninja hoods?
What are they called, actually? Balaclavas or something like that? We call it balaclavas up in Canada.
God, I love this guy. I mean, we've been together for like 3 days now, and aside from the problems we had getting into the shower together, we had no. I'm joking. Of course, I'm joking. No, we've been talking, and he's just been a Parthenon of incredible cultural items and stuff. That it's an experience I don't get with you, Jeremy, but you know, you're young, that's all. Your time will pass, and you'll be able to. Now I want to just let's do this now as if it is closed captioned for all of our only Oriental speaking listeners. Now we have them, I know we have them, because years ago, before we went to SRN, we picked up our Japanese fan club in Yokohama, which we still have, and they have that's a great place, because that what they do is they all gather in one place, a restaurant or a room or somebody's house, and the one guy who speaks English stands there to and I say things like, good evening and welcome to Cthulhu Chronicles, and he goes, or whatever, you know. Now, but and Phil can actually say the right words and stuff like that. So here's a brief announcement for all of our strictly, how would they even know I'm saying this though, right?
I have no idea. They have to read it somewhere.
Okay, let's just do this then. It'd be easier. How about this? They'll know what's happening if I say this. Coming up on tonight's show is Tom Savino.
Come on, Gatimok, yao, Tom Savino.
And with us also here, and we're going to be talking about a book that has to do with a man's brain.
可以傾偈同佢哋寫一個書，又話改人哋嘅腦嘅，咁亦都嚟傾緊偈。
Now, listen, this is serious. Don't. He's really doing this. You know, this is not like a Sid Caesar gag or something. He's doing this. This is exactly what I'm saying. Okay, how about this? How about this one? How about if you started the show? Let's do it. Oh, I would love to have. You know what you have to do? Do this. And then do this, and then send me make a clip, an MP3 of it, and we'll use it in. I'll use it in the show in the future. I'm gonna go from Ice Cap to Ice Cap, from Hamlet to City, from Othello and into every bordello.
well, you have to repeat that.
Okay. Wow, you can get that word. From Ice Cap to Ice Cap, from Hamlet to City, from Othello and into every bordello.
冰球到冰球，小村到大市，啊，咸湿屋仔到咸湿中心，系
Cthulhu Chronicles.
Wow, that is going to be the best loop we ever had in our life. That's going to be great. Because I don't have to say it anymore now. I can actually do it in and then you know what will happen? When comes time for the internet radio, like TV guide, there must be an internet radio guide somewhere. And when it comes time for that, it's going to go. You can have a little notice there on the bottom, a little sign that means,
Cthulhu Chronicles, now bilingual. Right, Raul? What do you have in your mouth? That's right. Oh, wait a second. Somebody's here. Who's a Skylar Hall? Oh, Skylar Hall recorded it for us, too. Skylar Hall is listening on Skype. Skyper Skylar Hall is listening on Skype. We're still waiting for Tom Savino. We don't know. We may have to... We'll just continue. We certainly have a whole bunch of talent here and a whole bunch of people who have things to say about stuff. So if we don't have a topic, this is what we'll do. I'll try to keep this coordinated. But we want to take advantage of the fact that Phil is here. Now, Phil, if this was the Phil Hong show right now, let's see what Phil would do. Let's give everybody a little chance to have their own show here while we're waiting for Tom. If this was the Phil Hong, the Hong Chronicles, okay? The Hong, and if this was the Hong Chronicles right now, this, and we were the guests, and this is, here's Phil with the Hong Chronicles.
How dumb are you, some folks, you know? I don't even know, I just started. How dumb are you whenever you're on Twitter and when you tweet some things? It's a public forum. So there's a man who happened to be in my community up the road. Thank God it was down in here in Harrisburg this week, because during this week, a man who worked at an oil change place happened to, well, write a tweet about wanting some marijuana. He basically sent a request for a drug dealer to show up at his workplace after work on Twitter. Now, the police wound up retweeting it, asking if they could come along, and eventually they call themselves Mr. Lube. The oil change people eventually fired him. Here's the problem, though. This man doesn't realize this, but the guy who actually owns his workplace was a former police officer himself. How dumb are you to come up with that sort of idea, knowing that sort of setup, knowing that you are this close to a pair of handcuffs, yet you still tweet something like that?
I suddenly realized... Perhaps this is why it was originally called Twitter, because there's a bunch of twits. Oh, yeah. Is that it?
They've been twitting about.
Yeah, I'm probably not the first one who ever said that. I'm Phil's guest, Frank Tolo, and on the Phil on Hong Chronicles. Hong, which of course means plumber in Chinese. Oh,
that's true. Actually, Hong comes from the term flood as well. The term to flood a plane is Hong Shui, or well, if you spell it out, it looks like Hong Shui, but we were the original Roto-Rooter. We were the original Roto-Rooter because we used to find the water for the fields, and you would plant, you know, rice and things like that, and you would ask for our assistance. And we also used to rebel that way as well. We used to basically find the water and flood the plains of our enemies, and that's how we won wars. So that's where the word, that's where my last name comes from.
What wars did you win?
Oh, well, I didn't win it. I'm talking about forefathers and ancestors and former spirits and things like that. I don't know. In a previous life as a Buddhist, probably.
There you go with the Hong. And you know what? If it means, Hong meant plumber. So Hong Kong means, gorilla plumbers? And what does Hong Kong mean?
Well, no, that's a case of the British screwing it up, because Hong Kong actually comes from there. They presume that it sounded like that, but the actual place is called Hong Kong, which is a...
Hang! Hang! Everybody!
Hong
Kong!
Which means the perfumed harbor, which has nothing to do with us.
Hong Kong!
Hong Kong.
Yeah, that's great. And who owns that joint now? China? They gave it back to China?
Chinese folks out there that got now back now.
He's from the west of China. That's how they speak in the west of China. Right, how about Ching Chow? Ching Chow? Ching Chow. The what?
The Dez.
No, we don't mention that name anymore on this show. The poor, the Dez, by the way, who... Unfortunately, passed away. But you know, obviously. Now let's go to the Long Chronicles, and this is if Jeremy Long were to have the show right now. Here's the Long. Now we're the guests on the Long Chronicles. Here's Jeremy.
Hey, welcome to the Hey, how are you? Where's your face? My hair is having serious hair. Where's your hair, Sarah?
All right. I know some people, I know that escaped some people. That like flew over some people's heads. But that was great. That was good. I hope producers were listening and direct They'll probably want to just scoop you up for their next part, as you know, of what were they doing? Wait, I know it would be probably the remake of Simple Jack. How about that? Yeah, it is an in-joke, right? Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Does anyone know what I'm talking about? No, nobody. Some people out there know what I'm talking about, the remake of Simple Jack. Now, if it remained the Cthulhu Chronicles, but it was handed over to the younger, and, you know, one day it might be. I mean, who knows? Phil Hong and the other Cthulhu sitting right here right now, maybe when they finish crying, of course, because I've passed on. Into when they finish the crying, and I don't know how long that's going to be. They'll probably have to play a lot of reruns. Then, of course, it will be, unless, you know, I could, like, John Gambling Jr. his show before he passed away, okay? And he wasn't homosexual. I don't know what that means. I'm sorry. I don't know what that means. But it put a smile on Raul's face. Hey, Raul, let me ask you, where do you get a name like Raul? What, can you tell us? I can't reach the mic. Can you come over here? Raul, come over here. Oh, God, he's big. Look out. Oh, my God, he casts a giant shadow. Sit over here for a second, Raul. First of all, Raul, what, I mean, I know I'm going to feel stupid. What is your last name? Do you want to give it on the because it's going to all over the world now. They're going to know Raul. Okay, Raul.
Abarca.
Abarca? Abarca.
Let me say it in Spanish. Abarca.
Oh, Abarca. It's Raul Abarca. I had no idea you were Spanish. I thought you were in the United States Army. How can you? You were born here though, right?
I was born in California.
Oh, you were born in California. Oh, so you're a friend of ours. I love California. It's my second home, and someday I hope it'll be my home again. And that's where Tom Savino lives. Hope he moves out by the time I get there. But anyway, or maybe he'll still be there. But Raul Abarca.
Abarca.
Abarca. Abarca. Spell it.
A B A R C A.
A B A R C A. So the last three letters of your name actually call up the gods of broadcasting. RCA. Didn't even get that? Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. They can't see us here. They're real much.
Hong Kong.
Hong Kong. Oh, God. Could you imagine if we passed around? Okay. So, Raul, man, and you are, no, seriously, you are in the United States Army.
Yes, I am.
And what a position, I don't mean, you know, like you got a gun, you hold it. What position, what do I call that position? What rank?
Rank.
Or what rank are you in the United States?
Specialist.
That's a rank? Was that above private, below private, or is it very private? What? I don't know. What is it?
That's an E4, enlisted 4.
Enlisted 4. Well, okay, enlisted.
Private, and then you got, like, on a uniform, the private doesn't have anything on it, and then the E2 is private. It has a rank on it, and then the E3 is private first class, and then E4 is specialist.
I know Chinese listeners are real. Our Oriental listeners are totally confused because you didn't say any of that. You see, can you yell it from across? You can't even hear. Okay, he's not. Can I punch your chest again? No, I'm joking. How long have you been in the United States Army, in the service of the United States of America?
About 2.5 years.
Oh, really? I didn't know you. Really? 2.5 years. And what is the tour, the tenure, the length, the season? What is it called anyway? When you sign up for what? Do you know what, Johnny?
Contract.
What is a contract? He's just going to help me with these when I can't finish the sentence. He'll end. What is? Oh, here. Oh, wait a second. I think we do. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. Everybody, hi, Tom.
Hi. What a crowd.
Oh, we got, I'm telling you, this is a, I know, this is a, we were wondering where the heck you were at any given time, but it's 9:30, exactly. I always tell everyone that you come here early, but here you are. But wait, now, let me introduce everybody to Tom Savino. We have a live audience here, and they're not really totally an audience. Phil Hong. Of SRN Media Works, who is the head of the hub that in Toronto that takes this show and shoots it out to the world, is here live. I mean, he would be a lot. You're live too, Tom, but he's here physically.
Yes.
And Tom, Phil, you want to say hello, Tom?
Oh, how's it going, eh?
Hey, Phil, how you doing?
Now Phil is going to say, he's going to say this in his native language. Hello, Tom Savino. How nice it is to talk to you from California.
Ah, man zheng ho, Tom Savino. Ho ho king ah.
You look it up. What? It's real. It's right.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's what he said, huh?
That's what he said, yes. That's what he said. Now I can't say the last name again.
Abarca.
Abarca. Raul Abarca. Abarca. You should know that. He's from California, Tom. He was.
Yes, we have a lot. Many, many. Mucho Abarca.
Oh, Abarca. Very
good.
What's that? It's all his family, the Abarcas. Raul is here. He's a member of the United States Army, and we hired him as a bodyguard tonight because with Phil and I in the same building, there were security issues. So Raul is here to, and Tom, you should see this guy. We hit him in the chest like five times, six times. He doesn't budge. This guy's made.
What a way to treat a guest.
Well, we hired him. We could do whatever we want to him.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
In the corner is, Kalina's in the corner. And that's the name of her new book, by Kalina in the Corner. She's of the Kalina Beers is in the corner. And, our friend, Jeremy Long is here, to my left.
Good to see you, Tom.
Hey, Jeremy.
Jeremy,
we met before, on this venue.
Yes, sir. A couple times.
Yeah, he's been around. He's been around here.
Oh, okay.
And
there goes my memory is so
Jeremy,
so sharp.
Jeremy also wants to. You later. Oh, you're going to leave tonight, so you can't do it tonight.
I'm going to get your contact information from Frank because I need to get some interview stuff from you for the documentary.
Oh, yes. I was wondering about that, and sure, absolutely.
Okay. And then, of course, I'd be remiss, and in which case I'd wear a dress, if I did not say that, of course, who's with us, the product of my DNA himself, Ray Cattola.
Tragically.
I don't know what it is. The kid doesn't want to be my son tonight.
No, I'll take over the show if you want. Hey, Tom, how are you doing this evening here in California?
I'm doing great. And you?
Well, I'm waiting to get the show from Frank. Any day now. I'll just take it for myself.
It'll still be Cattola Chronic. He's waiting for me to, to do the John Gambling thing and hand over the show to him. But it's not happening.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but
or just get two mics.
But I don't know about that. Well, it's up to Phil actually because he runs. It was everything there at SRN. Okay, so Tom, we're all going to participate in this. You're going to take off on this. We're doing the man's brain tonight, correct?
No.
Oh, we're doing the woman's brain? I thought we were doing the man's brain and then the woman's brain next month.
I thought we were going to do
let's do the
animals more like us.
Oh, yeah, animals. I just wrote the wrong thing for the blog. But you know what? It's okay, because we have a tremendous listenership tonight, and all of them know what an animal is. So it'll be okay. Now, what is the topic again? Why animals are like us, or why we're like animals?
Are animals more like us than we thought?
What did we think?
Well,
what did you think?
That's certainly an appropriate question for this topic. Like, what did we think, and what some common ideas about that we have about animals? They're cute. They're our pets. They're food. They're a pain in the butt. You know, there are many ideas that we have about animals, but. If you think about the people, of course, that eat animals, which is probably most of the people in the world.
You know, we were talking about that. Phil has been here for 3 days. And aside from the problems we had getting into the shower. No, that joke is already done already. That joke's gone already. No, we were talking about it because Phil, of course, being an Oriental, he's an American. He's not American. He's Canadian. He was born in Canada, but his family goes back. Well, your family goes back, too. Well, my family goes back. Well, our families can't go anywhere. They're all dead, but that's not the point. The point is that Phil, I was talking to Phil about the rumor, and you know it because you grew up in Brooklyn, Tom.
Uh-huh.
The thing about the cats and Chinese food and the fact that Orientals eat dogs.
This topic came up today.
Did it? Where?
In my classroom, actually. Yeah. The same time, maybe, you know, I was thinking for a topic for the show because I'm doing this topic with my students right now in high school, and this question came up exactly. Mr. Savino, is it true that the Asians, or Chinese especially, eat dog and cat? And I believe they do eat dog, like it's just routinely eat dog. And then we heard, you may be referring to what I remember back in, I think it was in New York City, where a Chinese restaurant was closed down because they were serving cat. And then that is the food was cat. They weren't like cats waiting for tables.
No. That English again. You know what I mean? There were cat parts in the food. Yeah, that was they there, and it got so bad that there were times when they closed the. There's all sorts of movement going on here in the studio. There was if they'd find a dead cat in the alleyway or something, they would close the place down. But
yes, yeah,
you know. But
yeah,
anyway, but here's Phil to tell you. Now wait a second before I give it over to Phil. You're in California, so you mean that you have no Asian, even though it might be third or fourth generation, you have no Asians in your class that would have heard about this or anything?
I do, and they concur. And actually, there's a colleague of mine, an Asian teacher, Chinese American, but he goes to chess. It is common, as far as the dogs are concerned, it is common for them to eat dog. Yes.
Well, it's all a matter of whom, really. From a cultural point of view, it just depends on where you live and what your traditions are. I mean, I know that in Canada and the U.S., sometimes we go into venison or squirrel, but I know that my family doesn't have a tradition of eating dog or cat, and that's why we usually don't. But we also know that the Vietnamese also eat dog, and the Koreans have a dog stew. It's just their normal standard. It's just an animal they happen to eat.
Yes.
Do they eat these?
I'm sorry, Frank.
Well, I'm just thinking, like, because I didn't ask this. So, do they like kill the dog and cook the dog the way you would do, like, a pig on a spew? Is it a pig on a spew? Is it a spew? A pig on a queue? On a spew? On a. What is that called?
Skewer.
Is it a skewer? Oh, anyway, do they just cook the whole thing and then hope, and then people go like, oh, the leg, or, I mean, oh, the paw, oh, that was a paw meal. What did they do? How did they do that then?
Well, I know that, the civet cats that started SARS about 10 years ago, they were served in the South, and I know that Southern Chinese generally eat wilder proteins by barbecuing it, skewering it maybe, or, you know, basic stews as well.
Tastes just like chicken. I don't know. I never had. I've had some weird things. I did a whole show on chocolate covered a long time ago on grasshopper legs. Yeah, remember that?
Did you ever have one?
Yeah. I did the whole show on being at a party in Paris and having that. And we don't have to go over that show, but you know, I mean, yeah. Frogs. But this one was about grasshopper legs, which are pretty hard to get. But anyway, go ahead, Tom. So now we know that there are jokes, but you're saying, well, now we're talking about eating animals, but go get to the general, I mean, we'll get to the general topic. We don't have to stop and talk about all the animals we eat, because what are all the, I mean, are there animals?
Wow.
You're right, and Phil's right, too, because, you know, like you watch Beverly Hillbillies and they're cooking possum, and you know those guys out in the middle of nowhere were cooking possum and squirrels. You're right, squirrels.
Yeah. It's all a what you're used to, and I mean, if your culture is used to having a dog as a pet and taking care of the dog, and the dog is part of the family, it's going to be unusual. You know, it's going to be going to have a reaction when you hear that somebody eats dog. But if that's not part of your culture, where you treat a dog that way, then it's just another food source.
That's why I don't
I guess my question is, and this is kind of the core part of it is, should we be eating animals? You know, he said 10 minutes after he had his turkey chili.
Well, that's why I don't have a pet lobster, though, because, you know, you get attached to these things. You get them live, you get attached to them, and next thing you know, you got to put them in boiling water. I'd have been a bad,
But it's probably wise.
But nobody buys a puppy to raise it into, like they do. Well, wait a second. We do that with cows. I live right next door to steer cows. I mean, they, you know, they walk around. They have kids, and they walk around and everything, and then they cook them into steaks. We don't think anything of that.
That's true. I mean, I know the Vietnamese. Some Vietnamese actually frown upon us for eating beef because their work animal, rather than a horse, for example, is an ox. Yeah. So they look at, you know, eating cows and beef as the same frowns as we would see the French eating horses, essentially.
That's why my great business over there, my fast food chain didn't work out. Ox in a box didn't work out.
Ox in a box.
Ox in a box didn't work out it didn't work out because they just
I got food poisoning.
Did you really? Ox in a box. So you're right.
I can't imagine, Frank. That sounds like a winner to me.
So anyway, what were you saying, Tom? So we eat just about everything. Now we eat insects. We eat, right? We put worms. You and I have both had, haven't we? Had cerveza with the worm and the Corona. Did we ever do that together?
I think I would have remembered.
Okay,
that.
Okay, the worm. Okay, but they do that. That's what they do with the Corona with the Mexican beer, right? The worm?
The worm is in the tequila.
Oh, that's tequila.
Yeah, I'm Mexican. Yeah.
That's tequila. Huh?
I'm Mexican. We do that in my family.
I thought you were Spanish.
Mexican Italian.
Oh, Mexican Italian. Man, no wonder.
A triple threat.
No wonder. Can't you count? A triple threat?
Oh, sorry.
Wow, that's American. Raul.
American is one.
I just love that name. I just Raul, you know?
Yeah.
Raul.
Yeah, Hong Kong. Hong Kong. We were saying Hong Kong the way you're supposed to say it here before you showed up.
What if his name was Raul Hong? Raul Hong!
Wow. That got an Oriental laugh from the Oriental Orient, didn't it? Okay.
Back.
What did they do?
Oh no!
What was that? What was that? What was that wild sound you just made?
Oh no! Yeah, are you kidding me? Oh,
that's what I was thinking. Yeah. It's. I've been trying to learn all I can, Tom. It's very difficult. Difficult language, man. I'm telling you. So we are actually closed captioned today. For the closed caption. Wait a second. What would that have to do with another language? With bilingual.
Closed caption is CC. Cotola Chronicles is CC.
Very good. You're smart. You must get A's in school. Thank you.
They're
very
not going to know what they're watching.
So, Raul. Okay, so there's Raul. Raul, just step in anytime you want, Raul, because. And keep watching outside. They could creep up, you know. They could put on black socks over their heads and creep in here. Okay, Tom, so why? The idea of this is, are animals like us? Well, I mean, we're talking about eating them. So if we're cannibals, then I guess, you know, then I guess we eat our own. Animals eat their own.
Yes. Yeah.
They even kill other animals. They murder.
And there are some species that eat their own species. Yeah.
They murder their own family members. It was a lot like you, Italians, like you and I.
Yeah, I was just thinking that.
Guinea pigs eat their kid. Well, the male guinea pig will eat their children right when they're born, unless you separate them.
That's just a test, though, because one of them is a guinea pig.
So, we'll use this one as a guinea pig.
Yeah. But, okay, so why would we think animals are like us, other than we all grow up with the personification of animals like us in cartoons.
Yeah.
Making animals, personifying animals, but give us the idea of this whole thing. Are animals more like us in what way?
Well, scientists are finding, and of course, if scientists don't find it, then we just have to throw out the whole subject because we, you know, it's a religion. Science is the religion nowadays. But seriously, scientists, laboratory experiments are finding animals, many animals have language abilities. They are self-aware. Some of them are self-aware. They know that they, you know, they recognize themselves in a mirror. They know it's them. They've done tests where they are aware of themselves. Some animals mourn the dead. Elephants taking the bones of the dead to a certain area and making it more or less a grave site, and they actually come back and visit that area again.
And they all celebrate Eric Burdon's birthday, don't they? I know, it kind of went over a couple of people. Yeah, it went over many people's heads. Something you got to annotate, you know, get your Cthulhu Chronicles notebook out. Later on, look that up, and you'll laugh later on. We got a great disparity of ages here, so some people just go, what the hell are you talking about? Go ahead. So animals act. They have these ceremonial that things are very much like human. They mourn. They don't give birthday parties, though, but they mourn. They don't.
They feel anxiety and they need to play and they need other animals or humans that they need. What's the word? I can't think of the
friends.
Word. Friends,
playmates,
activity with other beings. They can't be isolated, otherwise they actually get psychological problems and depression and so on and so forth.
But now wait a second. Some of this is not necessarily new. When was this book you read written? Because obviously we know that you don't take the babies away from the mothers and they're protective. We see baby cubs even out in the wild in the champaigns of Africa. We see them playing with one another. We know about gorilla. What do you call a group of gorillas? Is that a special name? Like, it's not a herd of gorillas. Well, of course I've heard of gorillas. It's not a herd. It's a bunch. It's a
gaggle.
A gaggle of gorillas.
It could be a gaggle of gorillas. Well, we know that they have these communities and they do all this stuff, and that's like nothing new. Are you telling us that this book found something different, or is the psychological part the different part?
I guess the newest findings are the language things and the gorillas. Coco, have you ever heard of Coco the gorilla?
Yes. I think we did a show, me and years ago we did a show on when he was, because he did an album. He did, I swear. I'll have to look that one up in the archives. Yeah, Coco did an album, and they made music to it and sold it. And that was years ago. But yes, they taught Coco, was a girl, wasn't it? Coco?
Yes, and she's still around.
Well, they live a long time, don't they?
They do.
Gorilla My Dreams, huh? it's funny, Tom, but telling these jokes that are like a million years old, people are here. They're so young, they're hearing them for the first time. It's hilarious.
Raul, we found an advantage to being our age.
Right, yeah. Raul just went nuts over that one there. What were we saying? Oh, yeah, tell us more. Well, Coco learned language. There's a little ape in there that actually talks. They have a connection. It's a Michael Crichton book, and they made a movie out of it. And the little, I forgot her name, it's like a regular name. They give the little chimp, like Eleanor or something. It's a regular name. And they take her to the to Africa because they're looking for something, whatever. And the little gorilla, they hook up a thing so that she talks to her master, her whatever, her trainer or what have you, and interprets the name through a machine on her. How did Coco talk? I mean, how did they get Coco to talk?
Well, Coco actually doesn't talk.
So they never got Coco.
She knows thousands of English words. They did teach her her trainers or her keepers or maintainers taught her sign language. So she speaks, if you want to use the word speaks, sign language, and she recognizes sign language, and she does respond to. If you just say shut off the faucet, she'll walk over and shut off the faucet.
Coco is also a very sweet gorilla, if you ask me.
Yes, especially the the marshmallow Coco. Is that where we're going with this, Rick?
I find Coco a little nutty.
They're all, see, everybody wants it. Everybody wants it to stand up. Yeah.
Chinese.
Okay. See, Tom Lift. You don't. You like that joke. So now, as Coco learns these, so if we say, and there must be other gorillas that are doing this. Is it a gorilla? No, because the difference between a gorilla and a chimp and what, a orangutan.
This doctor of I wish I
gorillology
I prepared when I come on the show.
Gorillology. Why we're not?
Who did her PhD on can we teach an animal sign language? Her name is Penny, and I don't remember her last name. But she I totally lost my train of thought. I wonder if animals lose trains of thought. By the way,
I don't know if animals have trains. All aboard! There's the Gazelle Express leaving for. Okay. What I'm trying to say is that there were other, Coco's been around a long time. Have there been developments, or was it in the book anything about languages? Or, as you said, when they started with Coco, they went to the closest evolutionary animal? I mean, why didn't they start with a gazelle or an elk?
because they have no thumbs.
Researchers without thumbs?
I don't know. No, because
why would they do
how
that?
How would a gazelle? Well, it'd be hard for a gazelle to do signs.
Because it's sign language. I see. Well, wait a second. Why don't we look at how they train? Right. And Raul, you'd know this too, right? The bomb sniffing dogs, right? You know about those, don't you? I hope you do. You're in the army. You might be going to Afghanistan. I hope you know. You know about them, right? Yeah. Well, they train those but that's a training. They don't use words because dogs don't really understand the words we tell them. Like we go, want to go out? Want to go out? It's right. They don't understand what we're saying. Out. They don't understand out because you could say cow, and they think they're going out, right? They don't understand language.
I'm not sure about that.
Really?
I think. I think you. Hello?
Yeah, I'm here. We're here. We're all here. Everybody say hi.
Hi.
We're all here.
Love you.
Say hi. Say hi, your
family.
What's
going on?
What I'm saying is, okay, let's just do this. Have there been other gorillas since Coco? Can Coco talk to other gorillas because they taught other gorillas how?
Now, here's their biggest disappointment is Penny, the doctor, PhD, who was working with Coco and taught Coco the signs and so on and so forth. She was hoping that Coco would mate, and her theory was that she thought Coco would teach her offspring sign language. That's what they wanted. That's what they were hoping that would happen. But she never mated. And
kind of identified just doing it with humans, and not. Is that it, or did they think?
Well,
she
other gorillas that are with Coco have also been taught sign language,
but they don't talk to one another.
As far as I know, they only do the sign language with humans. That's an interesting question. Yeah. I have to look into that. Once they are taught the sign language, would they ever do that themselves? Oh, one thing that Penny, the PhD, discovered when trying to teach Coco the signs is that the gorillas have their own sign language. They do have their own sign language. They don't have thousands or hundreds or thousands of signs as they were taught by the humans, but they do have their own set of signs that means things across gorilladom.
Well, there would be things they don't really, they wouldn't need the number of word expressions, would they, that a human would be? I mean, a gorilla doesn't get up in the morning and what's your choice of breakfast cereal? Right? They don't need.
Good point.
Yeah, they don't need all that. They just need to say things like, come here, get away, you smell, or whatever, right? Or where can I, you know.
And if you think about it, they're like.
Me hungry.
The original.
Me hungry.
Thoreau. I mean, they're like, you know, living simplicity. And we're complicating their lives with freaking signs.
Jeremy's such a dope. Listen what he's. He goes like this. We're trying to think of words they would need, right? So he says, for some probably, you know, cultural reason that he has in his head, me hungry. Like you're gonna teach the gorilla a incorrect English. You're gonna teach him like Tarzan said it. No, maybe he understands it.
I'm saying that he already says that. We don't have to teach him that. That's one of the ones he already says.
Who?
The gorilla.
Hungry. He would say hungry, not me hungry. Boy, we're doing Tonto again.
We're back to Tonto.
Okay, so the question, are animals more like us, is derived from this study just with Penny? Or are you saying a lot of other scientists are now doing this?
Oh, yes. Now, here, in experiments in Oxford, scientists at Oxford did an experiment with New Caledonian crows. I like that sound, too.
New
Caledonian crows.
The first two, don't tell me, were Heckle and Jekyll.
is that a new band?
Yeah. Yeah, that's Caledonian a good Caledonian. Yeah, the New Caledonian
yeah,
Crows.
A good band.
Yeah. Well, Heckle and Jekyll would be good.
What was that band we were talking about?
Biafra and the Guantanamo School of Medicine.
Yeah, that's our favorite name for a group, Tom.
That's probably Cookie.
You missed that when we were talking. There's really a group. In fact, you could see them out there a lot. They're out there a lot, right? Listen to the name of this group.
Uh-huh. It's Coco's favorite band. Yeah. Jello Biafra and the Guantanamo School of Medicine.
That's a great name for a group, isn't it?
That is actually the name.
That's of the group, yeah. Led by Jello Biafra.
That's great.
And loved by gorillas everywhere. Okay, go ahead.
But I think Heckle and Jekyll.
The crows.
Were crows.
Yeah, they were. They were magpies.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, is a magpie a crow?
Crows,
a
magpie crow? Kind of crow or something like that.
How do you say, are magpies crows in your language, Phil?
Niuha.
Okay. Call in. You know.
I don't know if that last one was accurate.
A magpie's crows. By the way, that is the name of my new book. I'll be at Bookblasters next week signing. Are magpies crows by Frank Cotola. What?
Ask Phil how to say, if there's any questions, call in on Skype at frank.cotolo.
You mo muntai I Skype na bye up frank.cotolo I Skype.
I Skype.
I Skype.
I Skype. Wow. E Skype.
Okay.
Back to you, Tom.
Okay, so the scientists at Oxford, and they wanted to see if the crows were smart enough to select the better of two tools, okay? So they had these two crows, male and female, Betty and Abel. Betty was the female, Abel was the male. Oh. And
good thing nobody had one stone. Go ahead.
Yes.
Go ahead.
They put a piece of meat in the bottom of a test tube, and they gave the crows, they had two test tubes, and one for Betty, one for Abel, and they had meat at the bottom of each test tube, and they gave each of the crows two tools. One tool is an obviously better than the other. Each tool was a wire to a wire which they could use to snag the meat. One wire was a straight wire. I can't help this joke. The other wire was a gay wire.
You had to do it. I know. It's okay. It's allowed. Go ahead.
One wire is a straight wire. The other wire was a hooked wire. Now, obviously, I hope it's obvious. When I go over this material with my students, I find some of my students don't realize. If any of my students are listening tonight, please, not you personally, but, you know, the obviously the better tool is the hooked wire. Because if you put the straight wire in there and you pull it out, it's just going to come out. But the hooked wire will snag the meat and you could pull it out. Well, without exception, after many repeats of this experiment, each bird chose the hooked wire and took out the meat. So there was, the scientists were satisfied and said, well, the crows are definitely smart enough to know this. But here's what happened. Abel, being a guy and a typical guy, and the your woman in the audience there could probably attest to this, Abel stole Betty's hooked wire.
So another good name for a book. There's another good title for a book. Abel stole Betty's hook wire. Eddie stole Betty's hook wire. Eddie stole Betty's hook wire.
So she was.
wait, let's hear that. Let's hear Eddie. Oh, Eddie? What was it?
Abel.
Abel stole Betty's hooked wire. And now, in Chinese.
Abel stole Betty's hooked wire.
She doesn't need music. That language doesn't need music. It's music of all its own.
It is.
Yeah. Go ahead. So they were happy, but then he stole the wire.
He stole Betty's wire, and they just simply observed, you know, over a course of time, well, what poor Betty doesn't have the correct tool. And they observed that she took the straight wire and put it in her beak and pushed it against a crevice in the wall, and she made her own hooked wire.
And the beak goes on, huh?
Yes, indeed. The beak goes on.
Wow, she made, wow.
They were, like, flabbergasted because they just wanted to see if they were smart enough to choose the proper tool and the better tool, and yes, they were, but they were not expecting that they would make their own tools.
These fascinating facts and more right here. We're then first hour here. Let me just tell everyone who may be just tuning in live here at SRM Media Works. We are, this is Cotolo Chronicles. This is Cotolo I Chronicle, and also chronicling with me, it's a Savino Cotolo Chronicles. Once a month, Mr. Savino returns to visit his old partner in crime. And I mean crime, because our act was criminal. And we're here also with Jeremy Long, stand-up comedian and the director of the documentary on me called Unrepressed Emotions in June, or whatever it is. What is it called? Is that the working title?
Unrepressed Emotions in July.
July, okay. Mr. Phil Hong, who is the... are you actually, what are you, CEO, CE, CCCs? Do you have any Cs? I mean, what? What are you of SRM MediaWorks?
Well, officially chief executive, but we don't use that title.
Okay, so he's the he's the official chief.
The UOCE.
UOCE. Unofficial. All right. Ray Cotolo, who, why are you, hey, Tom, why are you in school? Was this summer school? What are you saying you're talking? You didn't go back.
The school schedule has become so crazy. We started this week. We started Tuesday, August 12th.
See that, Ray? In Los Angeles, they already started. When do you start?
2 weeks.
Well, what August is what? August, like 20-something?
August 26th.
Okay, they don't start till August 26th, but Ray Cotolo is here. Raul? Say his last name, Tom.
Abarca.
Abarca. Abarca. Who makes the sign of the A? Abarca. What?
And then in the corner is Kalina Beers. Now let's move on.
And so Kalina Beers in the corner. Kalina in the corner. And of course, Raul. Raul, security's pretty good here. I see. I don't see any yet.
No one's died yet.
No one out there moving around. He's good. Okay.
We'll all be at Book Blaster signing our new books. Because we all apparently have new books coming.
We all have new books. Okay. So that's where we are here at Cotolo Chronicles Y2K Plus 13. We want to remind everybody that archives of this show are available at juicedtalk.com. This show, within 24 hours after it's over, will be... Are you okay, Tom? You got a weird look on your face. Are you all right? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh. I got bad taste in his mouth or something. See, we could see Tom because he's on a video. You can't because this isn't television. Juiced Talk, where you can get weeks of shows, Cotolo Chronicles, and you could play them in your own home. They have Cotolo Chronicle parties, and you could put them on your iPod, your iPad, your ibuprofen, or whatever you got, and you could listen to them and have fun with them. And of course, SRN Media Works, where all sorts of things are going on all over the place. So that's what you could do. Join us on Facebook. Frank Cotolo. Tom Savino's not on Facebook, but he's on Twitter
I'm on Twitter at TJ Savino.
And okay, we'll do the rest of the Twitter and stuff like that too. But let's go back to what we were talking about. And what are we talking about now? We got the crows.
Oh, animals.
The crows. So, no, those are birds. I'm amazing that they would go to birds for studying.
Yeah, I don't know why, but I don't know. I don't know the details of why they chose New Caledonian crows or birds or
yeah, crows are crows. What crows are? What are you passing notes? What are you doing? What is this?
Class?
It's like a class. Like a bad classroom here, Tom. Okay, so there was a crow. So what? Why are we trying to? Do you think, or does it mention in your book or that book? It's not your book. You didn't write it. But you do have a book, and if you do, you'll be a book blesser signing it.
Actually,
are you working on that book?
No, the information that sparked this topic is in a textbook of mine that I use with my students, and the textbook is each unit or module, as they say, is a controversial issue. that's where I got this from. So I got this information from an essay by Jeremy Rifkin, who is an animal activist and a protector of animals, and he wrote this article called A Change of Heart About Animals. Are animals more like us than we thought?
And that's what we're trying. That's what he's trying to find out. I mean, that was he's talking about all the studies that were done. Crows. Were there any other ones done with the any other weird animals? I mean, would be weird to us that he talks about, Mr. Rifkin.
Well, he talks about the experiments that were done with the elephants, where they are self-aware. They painted a star, a white star, on the forehead of elephants. And had them pass by large mirrors, and the elephants stopped and looked at themselves and with their trunks touched the star over and over, because they were aware that this strange figure is on their forehead. And
wait a second, wait. They touched the mirror, or they thought it was another elephant, or they touched their own, because they knew they had a reflect. I mean, first of all, I'm shocked.
Yeah,
they didn't think that was
enough. They touched their own forehead.
So they knew it was a mirror? Right there, I think, is something amazing, isn't it? They knew that was their reflection.
They knew the reflection was them.
Wow.
So.
I guess that's because they thought it was water or something. I mean, that don't you think that's fascinating?
Actually, I never thought of that. That is kind of fascinating, yeah.
Because I would think an elephant, you know, which really considered rather dumb elephants, aren't they?
Dumbo.
Dumbo, the elephant. I mean, they didn't call him Dumbo for nothing. They didn't call him Intellecto, did they?
Smarto.
Smarto. Wizo.
Yeah,
so they knew it was a reflection. That right off the bat gives me. So he's now, and he points. Now, he's smart enough to know it's a reflection and touches the own star, or his own star. But when a guy was in front of him with paint, putting something on his head, he just stood there. He didn't know what. He never identified the fact that, wait a second, there was a fellow here doing something to that part of my body.
Now, in Cantonese, let's have Phil Hong translate. The elephant has a white star on its forehead.
But he didn't know. He was smart. We just go right by that because, you know, it's like, you know, it's good. That's very good. I wouldn't know if that was bad either, Phil, because I don't know. Yeah.
Dumbo's younger sibling, Smarto.
They take a trip. They milk it till it's like, all right, don't talk about it. But I'm fascinated at this. This thing didn't know that. So they're smart, but they're not.
Elephants are very smart. Where did you get the notion that they're not?
Well, I'm going by
because of the Dumbo thing.
Well, dumb elephants are dumb. Was, you know, big dumb. I don't know where I got that, because it's just that elephants were never depicted, and we're talking about, of course, Okay, they're leaving now. Leaving the studio right now. Our time's up. We can't afford the. Our bodyguard.
For 2 hours.
The bodyguard union's calling, so Raul will be leaving. So Raul and Colleen in the corner is no longer in the corner. She's going to be in the car. Colleen in the car, in the corner, who's in the car? In the car, so Raul and Kalina and Jeremy will see you again soon. Yes. And you'll be in touch with Tom about that. Okay. Yeah, so we're losing.
Okay, Jeremy.
So thank you guys for coming by and for your participation. Mr. What a handshake. Man, that man really he's only good. Kalina's hand. No, man, that's a girl handshake. Well, you're a girl. Okay, what? Okay, everybody, Brandon Dunn, can I go on my show now? I got a guest here.
You're going to speak out.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you're right. I did that. It's just let him go.
Okay.
All right, go. Take care, buds.
Hey, Tom, good to see you again.
See you, Tom.
Talk to you soon.
There you go.
Very soon.
There they go. They're actually going to the movies. Can you believe this?
They're going to go see Kick-Ass 2.
Kick-Ass 2. I didn't even know there was a Kick-Ass 1.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I didn't even know it was a kick-ass one. Come on over, Phil. Get closer here.
Phil gets an upgrade from coach to first class.
Well, this is here. I'll listen, Phil. Do you have any specific questions, or what do you want?
Well, just to mention Kick-Ass 2, Jim Carrey was basically shunning himself from promoting that movie because he thought it was just way too violent, considering on recent events and everything. It was just a little tidbit there.
Did you hear that?
Oh, really?
Really.
Wow.
He's Canadian, Jim Carrey.
He was a janitor in the eastern suburbs of Toronto at one point, a struggling actor who lived out of a school, of all places. And I actually know that school. I have a friend who went there.
Wow. I didn't like that. I didn't like them apples.
Janitor.
What happened? Something go on up there? I don't know. I'm hearing screaming and yelling. What went? Oh, your bag is here.
Oh, don't bring your bag.
Your bag, okay. Good night, kiddo.
So Jim Carrey was a janitor.
Jim Carrey was a janitor
school.
At a Toronto school.
I wonder why he left. He could really clean up in that business.
So, wow. I think the younger of the youngs are gone. I don't think we can get away with these jokes anymore.
Okay. Good morning.
Yeah. So we'll go back. Yeah, I know, but you're a little bit more sophisticated. Okay. Let's move on here. What the hell are we talking about now? Oh, more than
the
elephants?
Yeah. And there was also, they did an experiment with an orangutan. I think that's how you say it, orangutan, in San Diego, at the San Diego Zoo. His name is Tontek. I think he's still there. And they gave him sunglasses. He has sunglasses. And also they put him in front of a big mirror and he adjusted his sunglasses, like, you know, he looked in the mirror. And
you didn't tell us he was wearing sunglasses right off the bat. You just said they put Tukunga in front of him. He adjusted his sunglasses. Now, I didn't know that orangutans just walked around with sunglasses.
That is kind of strange.
Yeah, he adjusted his sunglasses.
The people at the zoo,
did he tighten his vest and his pants and his belt or what? I don't know what else. To say.
They just gave it to him and he keeps it in his cage.
So you knew to put on the sunglasses. This is also a fact. You knew to put on sunglasses. How do you know to put on sunglasses if you're an orangutan?
Well, he puts them on whenever he wants, but when they put the mirror there.
How does he know he puts they taught
him. He adjusts the sunglasses. Like, he looks in the mirror and he says, oh, I don't like the way they look. You know, I'll place it on my face, but different.
But they had to teach him to put it on his face. He didn't know that automatically, did he?
No, he did that automatically. As a matter of fact, Coco, I have a film on Coco, which I'm going to show my class tomorrow, and they give Coco a pair of sunglasses. I don't know what the human fascination of giving other primates sunglasses. I don't know. What does that say about us? I don't know what the deal
maybe
is.
We're more like animals than they are like us.
Yeah, maybe we are more like wacko animals or something. Wow. I don't know. But yeah, so, and Coco looks at the sunglasses first and says, and then just puts them on. Nobody, like, shows her how or how to do it. She just puts them on. And then she makes it. She hears. Here's the fascinating thing about Coco, and it's not just like she learns sign language. She uses the language. She put on the sunglasses, and she, like poetry, she created the phrase, dark time.
Dark time.
Dark Time. So she puts the sunglasses on, and she signs Dark Time.
Hmm. Well, I guess that's a little less impressive than going into a chorus of kooky, kooky, lend me your comb. But that's, boy, that one went over a lot of people's heads, that one. Everyone just flew right over that. But, okay, so the gorillas know. So, in other words, you would assume then that you could go somewhere in the Congo where there are still gorillas, although... Aren't they in trouble as a species too?
Yes, gorillas, they are. Yeah, all of these, so many of the wild, you know, the wild species in Africa and
but
other regions.
We did a show a while back about the gorillas who were in the Congo who were shot. There was a lot of gorillas shot in a revolution, some kind of revolutionary thing. Do you remember that? Was that a while ago?
Zaire.
Yeah, I think it was Zaire. Yeah, where these gorillas were murdered. But what I'm saying is that so there are a lot more more pairs of sunglasses in this world than there are gorillas. But remember,
well,
the,
you know, on that topic,
subject, yeah.
Michael is was he died. Recently, Michael was a gorilla. Was Coco's kind of adopted brother in their where they live in Santa Cruz, and they taught him sign language. And he tells the story in sign language, of course, of how he was captured and how his mother was killed and shot and cut.
Oh, you know, really?
Chopped up, yeah.
Now, that, of course, attests also to the fact that they have memories.
Yes, they have memories, mm-hmm. And...
they do not live totally in a Zen state of mind. They actually think back to other things. And they know they know their mother. Well, we know that animals know their mothers. We know that. No, but actually we don't, because don't... I often wondered about that when dogs had... if you ever had a dog that had a litter... Mm-hmm. And then later on, the dog, you know, when they finally let them go, because they don't want them anymore, I guess, right? That's what dogs do. They just, you know, they're not going to raise them. They let them go, and people are allowed to take the members of the litter away, and then they raise them. But if you were brought back after like a year, 2 years or something, you bring back, I saw this happen, brought back a daughter to the mother. And they were very territorial. They wanted to kill one another. They were not. I don't think they were saying, "That's mom."
Wow.
And if you have a memory, does a memory spark emotions in animals? In other words, this gorilla talking about, if he's telling another person about it, his mother was being murdered, and we assume he knows it was close relative or somehow has that feeling. Does he have an emotion, Mike? Because you said they mourn. How do we know they mourn animals? How do we know they mourn?
Well, the elephants, we know that the elephants drag their dead to a spot of their choosing, and I don't know how they decide where, but they would take the dead and drag it to an area, and then when other family members die, they drag them to the same area, and then they... go about their elephant business and come back to that area every now and then to visit, almost as if it's a cemetery.
Well, we do know one thing. The elephants would never forget. So they know where they buried. Now, here's something. Well, before anybody is studying animals, where'd that thing, an elephant never forgets. Is that just like some kind of kid's literature or something? It's not from any study, is it? I mean, we actually believe this junk, right?
I don't know. I have to check that out.
Is that Dr. Seuss?
Is
that Dr. Seuss, or does it go back even further?
I was just going to say, somehow I have a connection when I think of it. I think of Dr. Seuss.
I think he used it, but it wasn't his. He picked it up because they were saying that an elephant never forgets.
Yeah, so I'll look into that.
Based on some kind of... if you look at the ancient... I mean, maybe the story of Androcles and the lion, just to pop one out of my head, because that's one of the things popping out of my head. Androcles and the Lion is the famous story of a guy who, in Roman times, in ancient Roman times, when there was who saves a lion, takes a thorn out of a lion's paw, and then later on, he's one of the Christians thrown to the lions, and it turns out it's that lion, and the lion won't kill him. The lion is his pal because he remembered that was the guy who helped him stop this pain from the thorn. That's a fable, but it must be based on something in terms of animals understanding.
Yeah, I think that's a good example, yeah.
Remembering and having a feeling.
Yeah, having a feeling you know, a feeling that we would ordinarily just associate with humanity, but, you know, they have these feelings too. Last week, I saw this movie called Blackfish. Have you heard of it?
No.
It's sad. It's a very sad movie about killer whales. And they are captured and killed. The ones that, in order to capture them, you have to kill some. They're captured, you know, just so they could be in SeaWorld or these various entertainment places where you get to see the shows. But there was a really sad part of that documentary, and this man, our age now, but he was talking about when he was younger and when he was doing this, he was part of the, you know, the company that went to get the whales. And they had footage of they would take the baby whales because they needed to train the young, you know, and the mother whales were just to lighten this up again. The mother whales were just wailing, crying, really just as their babies were taken away,
Well, if they're called, you know, they're called killer whales, it's because they kill. Is that why they're called killer whales?
They do kill, and however, from the information from this documentary, there doesn't seem to be any evidence of them killing in the wild. They kill like they kill and eat sea lions, you know, they will. They plan together, like, how to capture a seal or a sea lion, and they kill them. But they don't kill humans, but they have now, they're starting to kill humans in the SeaWorld-type places, you know? They kill the trainers.
Last year, that story about the one, the lady who, was that a killer whale? Lady who fell in, she'd been doing that, and everything was fine. And for some reason or another, he decided to attack him.
Yeah, and that's actually a big part of the documentary where they showed what happened that day and what was different that day. And first of all, these whales, you know, you go to the show and you see them flopping around, jumping out of the water and splashing, but. If they're not doing the show, they're in a small space. It would be equivalent to like living in your bathtub, you know. So like they're living in a bathtub, and then it's time for the show, and then they get to swim in the pool and do their show. And then they do have some time when they're trained how to do the show, but otherwise they're just in this very small space alone, you know. And a neuroscientist was commenting on this killer whale that killed the trainer and was saying, you know, that has got to create psychosis. And that kind of treatment over the years, you're going to become psychotic, and there's no telling what you could do. And certainly killing a trainer is one of those things, yeah.
The tub in the, you said it would be like us if we lived in a tub. That's the amount of space?
Yeah.
You're saying, yeah.
You know, they just put them in these stalls, these saltwater stalls, and it was kind of like almost like if you want to picture it like in a rodeo where they have the bull ready to come out, but you know, in that area where he's ready to come out.
And that's where they actually spend most of their time, in that little area?
Yeah, that's it. They just
Let them just swim around. They just got
to swim around, no.
You know, it makes you wonder how small or how large those fellows were who went rubber dubbing three men in a tub.
Yeah, they
how
to be,
big was
it? It would be a huge tub or very small men.
Rubber dub dub. Three men in a tub? I know. Okay.
This sounds like a gay porn coming up here. Hey, speaking
of gay porn, what? You have something a story to tell? What?
You know, this movie came out called Lovelace.
I heard about that because it was on sale at on cable. What, someone was playing Linda Lovelace?
Yeah, yeah. And it's out now. I haven't seen it. Of course, I guess we're off our topic, but remember those days. Remember the days when you had to go to the theater to see porn?
There was a fascinating, I saw this, speaking of that, on cable. I forgot the name of it, but it was a documentary all about a Deep Throat. What happened to everybody, you know, how it came about, how
you're
they
not
paid
thinking
for
about the same film, which is called Lovelace.
No.
Are you?
I saw something. No, it's that I saw a documentary on TV, on cable TV, and what's his name? Harry Reams was in it because he was. And it was all about his case because they tried to put him in jail because he was in the film, and how Warren Beatty and Jack Nicholson came to his defense. The craziness that happened, and how Linda Lovelace. You know, turned around and suddenly said, "Nah, they forced me." You know, the whole deal. It was the whole deal. And yeah. Jerry Damiano, who directed it, was in it. I don't know if
was
he's
in
still,
it too. Yeah.
So I don't know.
Well,
if he's
this movie is this is a not kind of, a documentary.
No,
but
it's
it
a
is,
drama.
From the what you're telling me, mm-hmm. It's the same. They're using the same same facts, and pretty much it's about how how Linda Lovelace was screwed. She was taken advantage of.
Oh, is it? Is yeah. it? Is it a dramatization of her book? Is that the name of her book?
Oh, it might be.
Yeah,
I don't know. It might be.
It's very. Her book was. I read parts of it along when it came out. It's very,
very deep.
Well, it was very tainted. It was. It was very angry. As if, I mean, you know, it was like you'd read it and go, "Is this the same person I saw in this movie?" Because I. You know, how could they beat someone? And I don't know. It was a suspicious book.
Oh yeah. Okay.
So I don't know what they did with this thing. Yeah. What really happened, and how? And if you talk to Jerry Damiano, because he talks about it in the documentary, and says that it's a bunch of nonsense or whatever. And then you know she went back. Do you know she went back into porn when she finally had no money and everything like that? And she
I didn't.
Yeah, it's in this documentary too. Not necessarily porn, but she went back doing nude photos and everything and stuff because she couldn't make a dime. She was just trying to get ahead. Anyway,
yes. Yes, she. That was her.
It was
main
cheap.
Purpose.
Wasn't that cheap? I'm telling you, it's a hard act to swallow. But anyway,
yes. All right.
Let's get back to the animals now.
Oh, yeah, but listen, we kind of got.
Why did you bring that up?
The animals, was there something
in Lovelace? Did they teach her sign language or something at one point? Or did they give her sunglasses? What? Why did you that up?
What?
Why did you bring that up? I lost track.
Yeah. Oh, three rubber dub dub three men in a tub.
Oh,
and I said, sounds like gay porn.
Okay, fine.
Says, speaking of porn.
Right, okay.
But actually, back to the animals.
Go ahead.
As far as we know, they don't watch porn. But. When they were trying to get Coco pregnant, they had to find a mate for her. So they actually showed her and communicated with her through sign language what they wanted to do, and they showed her videos of possible mates. A very funny part of the documentary about Coco is when she sees one gorilla. She sees one gorilla, mm-hmm. and she just totally is turned off, totally turned off by this one guy, gorilla. And she just goes over and shuts the VHS. And she's shaking her head no. And then she calls him, get this, she calls him an animal.
in sign language, you animal.
Yes. Yes, in sign language. And but then when she finds a gorilla, a guy gorilla that she likes, she kisses the screen.
Really?
She kisses the screen and she says, to use Tonto grammar, me.
Me.
Me, him, visit. Me, him, visit.
This makes a lot of sense now. This makes a lot of sense now here at Cotolo Chronicles. It's where you're listening to Cotolo Tom Savino and.
For a second, I thought that was.
Can you hear this, Tom? You hear this?
Yes.
Okay. Why is it buffering? Why are we buffering?
Say again, I didn't hear.
Why is it buffering? I don't get this here.
Oh, I don't know.
Who did that? Why is it buffering? Well, that's a strange thing. We've had a mishap here.
You mean technical difficulties?
Yeah, this perfect. This is like perfect. Wait, let's. You know what I'll do? I'll just refresh this, and then I think you'll know exactly what's going on. This should work now. It's Cotolo Chronicles with Tom Savino and me, Frank Cotolo, talking about
Polynesia. I want you to teach me everything you know. What? 2,000 languages? Certainly. We'll start at 8 o'clock tomorrow morning.
But it took me over 100 years.
Then we'll start at 7 o'clock. There's not a moment to lose. Matthew, think what it would mean if I could talk to the animals. Just imagine it, chatting to a chimp in chimpanzee. Imagine talking to a tiger. Chatting to a cheetah. Oh, what a neat achievement that would be. Learn their languages. Maybe take an animal degree. I'd study elephant and eagle, buffalo and beagle, alligator, guinea pig and flea. I would converse in polar bear and python. And I would curse in fluent kangaroo. If people ask me, can you speak rhinoceros? I'd say, of course-a-ros. Can't you? I conferred with our furry friends. Man to animal. Think of the amazing repartee. If I could walk with the animals, talk with the animals, grunt and squeak and squawk with the animals, they could talk to me. Spoke slang to a orangutan.
Why can't a woman be more like a man?
Like a man.
I thought that was a better version. I don't think that's the original. Good old Rex Harrison. Isn't it funny that when you brought up the woman, and I don't know when I made the joke about, well, can't a woman be more like a man? And then you brought up that other book, which we're going to talk about one of these weeks. And then there's Rex Harrison who's saying, if I could talk to the animals.
It's all connected.
I know. It's amazing, isn't it? Here at Y2K Plus 13, we're on the 15th of August. I want to be the first to wish Tom Savino a happy birthday, which is coming up shortly, as I remember.
Thank you.
Is that correct?
Thanks. Yes, August 17th.
That's right, on August 17th.
Happy birthday, Tom.
Thank you. Say,
here's happy. Scream it out in Chinese.
Sign your fire.
You hear that? You want to hear that again? Go ahead.
One more time. Sign your fire.
Now all together.
Sign your fire.
Ray says it like Jerry Lewis would say it. Sign your fire.
Apparently, I love that.
You do. You're starting to look more like.
Oh,
Dean! He had this short haircut. He's walking around. He's so tall now and lanky. He looks like Jerry Lewis. So he's really going around going, Dean! Right now he's doing it. Yes, Tom, a landmark Landmark birthday. Every birthday is a landmark nowadays, right, Tom? Now years.
Yeah.
Nowadays. Now years.
63. Oh, my God.
Which we actually means you're entering your 64th year.
Yeah, I knew you were going to say
that. You know that,
right? I'd be disappointed if you didn't say that.
Okay, back to the animals. What about, do we have personal, what else is there to know about, do you have any more experiments they did
with animals?
Yeah.
Yeah, there, let's see, there was,
You do have more.
You're just I do thinking, have right? more. Yeah, I'm thinking about other, some more experiments.
I'm just interested in how many the types of animals that they chose. Like an elephant. Let's just look at circus animals because
kangaroo.
What kangaroos? I don't think you could teach a kangaroo. You could teach a kangaroo how to tie me kangaroo. You could tie a sport down. No, that's the other tie me kangaroo no, down sport.
Kangaroo.
Yeah. Yeah. They what? They,
yeah. Kangaroos can box.
Kangaroos can box. That's right.
Yes.
Yes. Did we teach them to box or did we just give them the gloves because we saw them fighting? Yeah, we just gave them the gloves.
Yeah, they
fight with their hands.
Box, I think. We just gave them the gloves and said, wouldn't that be cute to watch kangaroos?
Now, why don't we give gorilla gloves? Because they do you think they fight? Do they fight with fists? We don't know that.
I haven't seen it or heard about that. I know they play, like they play hide and seek. They like to play hide and
whoa,
seek.
Whoa. Gorillas play hide and seek.
They do, yes. Yeah. Well, the gorillas in captivity, I don't know in the wild if they do, but the ones, Coco and his fellows and friends, they play hide and seek. They'll hide behind a large object or they'll put, comically for us anyway, they'll put a large cloth over them as if they're invisible. And then, you know, just peek out, you know, having the other friend, gorilla, try to find them and so on.
So they just like, you know, it's funny, how do they decide, how does another one know? If one decides to play hide and seek, how does it let the other one know? And it's like, suddenly he disappeared and he's looking for him? That's not hide and seek. That's just, I can't find you. Which is not a game in itself, is it? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, that's a good question. Maybe they're just maybe one is just trying to get away from the other.
Yeah, how do you know he's playing? Are you playing hide and seek? He's like, you're playing hide. I don't even know how to. How do you make a? How did McGilla Gorilla, the cartoon guy, talk? How do you make a gorilla talk? I don't know. But you know, even in let's face it, even in great fiction, such as King Kong, the idea of emotions. And protection, all that stuff was projected to make him more. In other words, if King Kong was not as personified as human as they made him look like, and then later on, of course, Mulligan Mighty Joe Young, in terms of, and those are fake gorillas, but you know, they gave them that quality. And of course, today, did you see I didn't like the new Mighty Joe Young. Did you see the newer one?
No. No, I hadn't.
The only thing good about it was Charlize Theron was the girl.
Oh, she was in that?
She was the girl, yeah. But but that wasn't. And of course, we saw the new King Kong. But that's just monkeys again. I don't know where do you crows, monkeys, elephants? We know about fish. I knew some trainers at Hershey Park that were always. Those weren't. What were they? They weren't sharks. They weren't. Whales? I guess they were just porpoises. What's the porpoise anyway? I'm sorry, it's just.
It had no porpoise.
Hey, Tom, did you watch American Dad yet?
Oh, thank you. I had.
Write it down.
It was on my to do list to say, what was the name of that show again?
American Dad.
I'm going to write it down. Right. All right, quick.
American Dad. Watch that, and you'll crack up. Just not at the jokes, but at how far the team of Cotolo and Savino, or Savino Cotolo, however, was ahead of their time.
Can I get that? I can get that online, right? You can get anything.
You can get it online. You can get it probably YouTube or Hulu or Dulu, or you could watch it on demand, in demand, or for demand.
Netflix, I demand it now.
What are the other ones, Ray?
Netflix, Redbox, or you can always torrent it.
You could. Oh wow, they know everything, huh?
I could always what?
Torrent. Do you know anything about torrents?
It's a verb. He made a verb out of a...
Not the place in California, not Torrance. We're not talking about Torrance in California.
Yeah, it's not far
not
from
the
here.
Home of Jan and Dean. Wasn't that Torrance?
Yes.
That? Yes.
Wow, you remember that. Jan and Dean from Torrance, yeah.
Yeah, because I knew Jan for a while. He's a very nice guy. And Dean, of course, got... What, this isn't that show. What are we doing now? You see how we just... Dean! Let's go back to the animals. Or have we really, or have we completely buried the subject? I don't know. Are we scratching for the surface here or what? What else is about
the
subject?
You had asked me not long ago, but we got off the topic so many times. It's about grief and things.
Mm-hmm.
Along the lines, Coco saw a kitten. She saw somebody at the place, her facility, have a kitten, and she expressed an interest in the kitten, and they gave her her own kitten. And she named the kitten All Ball and loved this kitten and cared for the kitten, and many pictures of Coco and the kitten All Ball just cuddled with Coco.
That's my next book, by
the way. And then All Ball died, was hit by a
Coco,
truck. Or
Coco
something.
And the kitten. What?
Yes.
All Ball was hit by a truck?
Yes, hit by a truck. And Penny
gave away the
had
end of-
to explain to Coco that All Ball died. And she cried. She really it was very, very upsetting, and she cried all night. All night she cried. And people heard about this. People knew about her. She was on Time Magazine with a picture of, or not Time Magazine, National Geographic, with Coco and her kitten. And then people heard that she lost her kitten, and people were sending cats to new kittens to Coco. And then she chose another kitten that became her, that she loved, and that kitten is... Smokey, she called her Smokey, and but she, you know, she loves kittens and mourned over the death of one and was happy to get another. You know, it's they go through cycles of emotion like we do.
I guess Penny was too cheap to get Coco another kitten herself, having other people donate it. No, Frank's just off right now. I took control, finally.
Oh, okay.
The show's...
You finally got control.
The show's mine now.
Okay, Ray.
All right.
So, yeah, she was... well, I don't know what they had planned. She may have planned to get another kitten, but word got out and the media covered it, and before you knew it, people were sending kittens to this facility in Santa Cruz here in California, and... Coco was happy to get another kitten.
How exactly did that selection go down? Did they put up a line of kittens and just see which one Coco loved the best? Kind of like how they have the mug shots or at the prisons?
I saw a film clip of her getting the kittens, and she was on the ground lying on her back, and kittens were all over her, so I don't know. They were just kept the humans were just kept going coming over and putting kittens on her, and so I don't know. And then she chose among those. She chose the one that she liked.
Now, is there any other story of an animal connecting with another animal, like gorilla to kitten, maybe elephant to mouse, or something like that? Is there any other?
Yeah, that's a good subject there, Ray. Because yes. There are many films of this. There's Back to the Crows again. There's a very interesting film from National Geographic or Discovery or one of those shows, channels. A film, a documentary film of a crow who raises a kitten. She finds a kitten out in the yard and she raises the kitten, and she like they're friends. You know, they do things together, you know, and the kitten of course grew into a cat and did not eat the crow or bother the crow. They're definitely friends and almost family in a way.
Now, was there any scientific study behind how that works, on how animals of different species have been connecting with each other in ways other than murder?
I think there are studies, Ray. I think there are, but I couldn't give you specifics. I remember in the documentary about the crow and the cat, there were experts on the subject speculating why this, you know, why this happened, or how can this be? But they weren't, they hadn't done any studies. But I think since then they have done studies. I something I would like to check out myself. You've seen some of these things too, haven't you? Like where cross species friendships and weird pals and things like that.
Does me and my father count?
That's a good example. That would be a good example. Yeah. Possibly. We'd have to do a study on that, though.
Phil's a scientist. You know a lot of things. He doesn't want to do it.
Here's Phil.
It's fascinating, though. There was an incident last week in Canada where there were a couple of kids who were basically strangled by a couple of snakes that were downstairs. They just were happening to be sleeping above an exotic pet shop. Is there any great examples of how you know, pets have essentially basically murdered their owners?
Wow. That's a good question. I would imagine there are. I know, like, the killer whale situation, you could say the closest human connection is their trainer, and it's not exactly their owner, but more or less, you know, and certainly the whales killed the trainer. There's a few instances of the whales killing the trainers. But I would imagine with millions and millions of people with pets that there was a situation where that happened. I have five cats myself, and my oldest cat, who will be 21 on October the 1st, she will go into these altered states where she'll see another creature outside or a squirrel outside, and then you should get away from her when she sees that. And before we learned how to read those situations, we would try to comfort her. We'd notice she was agitated or something. We'd try to comfort her, and she would bite us really badly. And she didn't murder us, but did cause us some harm. You know, had to go to emergency room and so on and so forth. But, you know, if you're living with any animal, even a domestic animal, you have to get to learn to read their read the signs of how they are going to change, or you read their behavior and you stay away if it's like that. But I bet you, Phil, that there are probably situations where a pet killed their owner. You know, pit bulls are famous for killing others, at least. I don't know about their owners, but they have killed humans. And of course, they're trained. The ones who have done the killing have been trained for violent. I forget why they train the pit bulls. If it's a demonstration or sort of a sport kind of thing, but they train some pit bulls to be killers, and those pit bulls have killed human beings. Yes.
And the fact that you just said you had five cats made me think of the most obvious joke that I don't even think I have to say it. For people already know that there's a lot of pussy in that house.
Yes, there's a lot of pussy in the Savino household.
it seems like with the animals, it's just a territorial thing. They naturally have that territorial feeling no matter who it is, even if it's their owner or their mother is shown with puppies that end up leaving the mother, but then come back and they're mortal enemies when they go to the same tree. It just seems like a natural instinct that comes into these animals.
I think it is natural, and I do think that they have these deep instinctual behavioral reactions to things, including especially territorial situations. And yes, they do, no matter if it's another one of their own species or a human. Yeah, they do that, yeah.
It's Cthulhu Chronicles, and that was still Cthulhu Chronicles, because it was Ray Cthulhu and Tom Savino, and Cthulhu Savino there, too. I'm back.
Very good.
I heard every word. I was just had a little emergency there, but I'm okay.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And I heard what you were saying, and it's all just fascinating. Now what we're going to do in next time, are we going to do man's brain and woman's brain now at the same show, or what? I mean, I got a little confused.
I guess
we could do that, right?
We could do the difference between the man's brain and the female brain. And as I had written in my email to you, I wish I had read the female brain. I wish it was available when I was in my 20s. It would have answered a lot of questions.
Yeah, we could do a little a promo on that, too. You're talking about two books, a book about the male brain and a book about the two brains, two books, right?
The first one was the female brain, and then she recently came out with, came out with the male brain.
And this is based upon studying the...
Yes, she's a neurobiologist or something. Yeah.
We did a great... one of these days I'm going to rerun that show, the one about the book Nanotechnology. This guy, what was his name? I don't know. I forgot his name. This doctor who was talking about all sorts of stuff that was brain-oriented, neuro... technology or something like that. So, and this is probably even better, because I'm sure the technology has changed immensely, even over a short period of time, as all technology does these days. So their study, and this, so we're going to be talking about how this author has the relationship between, or the differences, or what?
Both the relationship and the differences. And it's really fascinating.
It answers
a lot of questions about the conflicts that male and female, you know, the war between the sexes kind of thing. You know, because women behave a certain way largely because of their brain wiring and chemistry.
You know, oddly enough.
And men too.
Oddly enough, that if we think about this, that has that's very related to animals and men, because obviously there's two species, and people have right. It's a lot to do with people as animals, because the brain launches emotions, different emotions in females, ignites different reactions and actions and stuff in females than it does in men. This is what you're talking about, right?
Exactly, yeah. And so you're absolutely right. Yeah. I mean, because, you know, animals have brains. The movie I saw last week, Blackfish. There is another movie called Big Fish, but Blackfish.
That was a good movie, too.
It was talking about the whale brain and how there are certain parts of the whale brain that are way more developed than humans.
See?
Way more developed. The part of the brain that deals with empathy is much more developed than human brain.
So this is actually a trilogy. This is a trilogy. We went from animals to men to women. That's what we'll do. We'll make this part of the no-brainer trilogy.
The no-brainer.
The no-brainer trilogy that we'll do here. So that'll be good. We'll do that. And have you thought of any more Tonto jokes since we... Did you hear this? Did you hear that they're blaming, and I think this is unfair, they're blaming Johnny Depp. They said Johnny Depp cost Disney $164 million, you know, because that's what they lost on this movie.
Yeah.
I don't know if they'll eventually make it up foreign or whatever they do. I don't think there'll be many toys or marketing. I have no idea. And they're blaming Johnny Depp. I think that's unfair. You know, the movie is a community...
Yeah.
Fair, right?
Well, why are they blaming him?
I don't know, because I don't know. It's good news, or it's good. It's a good way. I don't know. They're just saying, like, oh, you know, this big project.
He produced it, so maybe he convinced them to do it, or
he must have had something. Yeah, something more to do with it. But and I guess in terms of money, in terms of power. So, but they're saying that he cost Disney this $106 million, and Disney for the first time in a while. The Disney Corporation had a loss. The quarter was a loss. They had a bad loss in the quarter. I think the stock was... Everything was affected. At least somebody's Skyping me as if they have what? They have a... They say something about this? Tonto, look... what is this? Wait a second. Somebody just wrote this in. Tonto and the Lone Ranger were riding across the prairie. Then Tonto got down from his horse and put his ear to the ground. He looked at the Lone Ranger and said, "Buffalo, come." The Lone Ranger looked at him and said, "Wow, that's amazing. How did you figure that out?" Tonto looked at the Lone Ranger and said, "Ear sticky." Someone just sent that.
No, so, let me get this right, Frank Solo.
Yes.
For future Chronicles.
Yes, go ahead.
People can respond during the show?
On Skype, yes.
Oh, that's great.
All they have to do is be, is know, you know, they be member. They have to become a contact of me, because I don't have a Cthulhu Chronicles, but I could do that too. I mean, yes, and people could actually call in. Sometimes we could do conference calls if they call in, but it's a very strange thing how we,
but you mentioned, or Phil mentioned, or somebody mentioned, that there's the they could write to you during the show at a Skype address, or...
Yeah, you could, because at Skype you can type in, you know, chat stuff as well as.
But I know you and I can do that, but I didn't know, like, people who were listening could do that.
Anybody who's connected to you as a contact.
Oh, I see.
You know, yeah. So you have to connect.
Well, they have to be connected to you.
Yeah, well, frank.cotolo, anybody can do it. You can have as many contacts as you want, and anybody, you know, if it's the same 20 people who want to call in, or that's fine. But once it,
I see.
Yeah. So these are coming from my contacts, and believe me, since Skype emerged with Hotmail, and I mean, I don't even remember some of the, I don't know some of the people I have there, because many people had gotten onto Hotmail and whatever the other places, MSN, you know how it's all merging.
Yeah.
And they got. So there's tons of people there, but so anybody who wants to do that can do that. And Tom Savino is at TJ Savino. Is a Twitter, and he's a very active person himself. So we're going to come back. When we come back next month, that's what we'll do. We'll do men and women. So we're not a trilogy, or we'll just do men. Can we
We'll do men and women.
Okay. So it's not a trilogy, because only two. It's the two-part trilogy.
We can't. We can't.
We can do animals. Do okay, then
you
we'll do
men. Men. Let's do men.
Okay, we'll do that. We'll do that in September. Happy birthday to you, Tom. Happy birthday to you.
Thank you.
Time for us to run off. Say goodbye to Tom, my fellows who are still here.
Bye, Tom.
Oh, bye, everybody.
He just said it in Chinese, didn't he? God, what?
About on Tom.
Thank you.
Yeah, I brought it right up to the end, and
that's your toll over there. Yeah. You know what I mean?
I know what you mean. Okay, Tom, we'll talk, and one way or another, and we'll be back on the show, and we'll do it again.
Okay.
Take care of your pets.
Yes.
Talk right to them for me.
I'm gonna go pet one of my pussies.
Okay. Oh, there we go. There's the Tom Savino we all know and love. Good night, Tom. Oh, boy, that was excellent. Oh, we had to just move over there. We'll move over there in a second. Oh, yes. Phil Hahn, thank you so much for being here. The king of Lavinia himself. And good old Ray Cotolo here. And the rest of us kicking in the jams here at Cotolo Chronicles. We'll be back next week. I don't know what we're doing. We're going to have other things. I might have a solo show. We might get Dr. Karen Wyatt's going to come back one of these weeks. We're going to get Veronica. We're going to get Dr. Waldar. We're going to get everybody. Dr. Sy. We're going to have Skylar, Wolar, and everybody else named R. The whole R. Robar, the Ape Man. And Tobar, the Ape Man, or whatever. In the meantime, I want to make you go out. What's that? Good night, right? What?
We got to say good night.
No, we'll say it. Okay, John, he wants to say last time with me. What are we doing? We're saying good night, Mrs. Ernstweil, wherever you are. And this is... Well, we'll just say the last line of the day, okay? Because I don't know what I'm going to say. Control Chronicles, why'd you get... okay, we got to leave now because...
I have nothing more to say.